Today on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872911.
We've just been talking this morning about, well, I suppose for a whole lot of people, the memories come flooding back, to pardon the pun, flooding back in after that catastrophe that befell our region 12 months ago. Well, some people will say tomorrow, but others will say today. Now, I'll just read the intro here. Tropical cyclone Jasper crossed the coast north of Cairns. Woodjil, 8 p.m. Wednesday, 13th of December last year. Tropical cyclone Jasper stalled. It stalled over Cape York Peninsula and, coupled with a surface trough, produced heavy rainfall over the weekend of 16 and 17 December, resulting in widespread flooding in the region. Who up here will ever forget? And particularly those people who were so courageous down there in the Barron River, with those people hanging out on their roofs just hoping someone's going to come along out of the dark and rescue them, and those wonderful people did. So once again, congratulations and thank you on behalf of all those people that were rescued. Now, north of here, this was interesting too, because we had these crises fundamentally right before our eyes here in Cairns. So the focus was very much on saving people here as best we could as a community. But there was one voice, not one in the wilderness by any means, but one that really stood out in calls coming through to the talk show, saying, I need help, I've got to get stuff up north of here, because there's a whole lot of people really, really struggling, and they're desperate for things. They're desperate for food. They're desperate for sort of equipment that you need when the floods rip-roaring through your town, etc., or through your house. And she was just so energised. She was remarkable. Her name was Gina Court, and she's just on the line. Yes, we've just made contact with Gina this morning, 12 months down the track from that crisis that enveloped the whole of Far North Queensland. Gina, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm well, and on behalf of all those people you helped out back then, thank you, because your energy was remarkable and you became organised so quickly, and you had people coming in from all corners to help you out, getting emergency equipment, stuff that was desperately needed well to the north of here. Just step us through once again how you became involved and what you were able to achieve.
How I became involved, it was actually my cousins by my ex-marriage that were the ones that were stuck in the trees for hours and hours, and they basically saw their life flash in front of them. But they lost everything. They lost their whole house. It was two stories high. And that was Michelle and Billy Dunn. And their son, Alec, was actually the one that went and rescued everybody in the morning that was stuck in trees in his tinny.
Wow.
So I heard about that, and by the next day I'd organised everything I thought they might need, and I only focused on them because that's all you see at the time.
Yeah.
So I got mattresses and food and anything I could think of that they would need, and I drove. And the funny thing is I didn't even check the roads were open, because that just didn't cross my mind to check that you could actually drive up there. And funnily enough, the roads opened the day that I drove up there. So
wow.
I think the gods were with me and looking after me and guiding me on that trip. So I drove up there and delivered everything to them. And I didn't go to actually see their house or take photos or anything like that, but they actually begged me to go and see their house, because they were staying with their son by that stage. And when you drove into Dagara, it was like a war zone. It's indescribable. You know, I can't describe it. And even all the volunteers that helped me over the coming weeks, they said you can't appreciate what's happened here until you see it for yourself, because the photos do not paint the picture. So once I'd seen that, you cannot switch your mind to it. You can't just drive home and go, okay, well, I'm going to go back home and have a hot shower and turn my aircon on.
Mm.
So I basically came back to Cairns and just started rallying for all of the donations that they needed, all the things that they needed urgently for the whole community. And I worked very closely with the lady, Susie, who was running the hub up there in Bloomfield. And she was amazing to work with. We ended up very quickly getting a system that worked. So I would drive up there on the Friday or Saturday and deliver all the goods. And by the Sunday, Monday, she would tell me what she needed. and I'd spend that whole week getting all the getting all the donations together. But John, I've got to give a big shout out, because every week I was putting out there going, I need more four-wheel drives. I need more people to make this trip with me. We need at least, you know, 4 4-wheel drives or 5 4-wheel drives to get all this gear up there. And every week, different people would put their hand up to come and help me. And there was one gentleman in particular that came on about 3 trips. And it was incredible, because you can't expect people to do that every single week. I was in a situation where I could do that every week and I just couldn't focus on anything else anyway. But different people put their hands up every week to come along and do this trip with me. And even Malcolm Roberts, like, he said to me, I rang him and said, what can I do to help these people? Can you guide me? Is there anything else I can do? Because the government were absolutely useless, to be totally fair. And he donated money himself, but he also flew up. And I said to him, if you're flying up, you need to get a four-wheel drive, because I'm going to fill it. You're not coming up in my car. Get your own four-wheel drive, because that will give me more space. And to his credit, he did. He hired the four-wheel drive, and he did the drive up there, and he met with the people, and he really saw firsthand what was going on, and he was absolutely shocked. Needless to say, we actually got stranded and flooded in at Palmer River Roadhouse overnight. We couldn't get through to get back. But it was the community up there. If they hadn't banded together, they wouldn't have got through it. It was as simple as that, because everything that happened up there was the community. They didn't have any real external help. They did have Disaster Relief Australia, who came in, and the SES and the Fire Brigade, and I ended up in touch with the coordinators of all three of those areas. And they were as frustrated as I was, because once you do it under the government, you're not allowed to go in there and put ladders up. So you're not allowed to get into the ceilings. So you can't actually start any real work until you get the mud out of the ceilings. So it was kind of all done completely back to front. And Disaster Relief Australia in particular were amazing to deal with. Every time I would go and, you know, because I actually went up there and delivered, me and the volunteers, we went up there and not only delivered to the hubs, both in Tagara and Bloomfield, but a lot of people couldn't start their cars or their quads, so they actually couldn't get to the hub. So those people I was in touch with personally, and we would go and deliver to their actual houses to make sure that they got what they needed. And it was incredible, John. Even to go in there, they appreciated so much as just having another face, having a hug, and being able to tell their story. Because it was hard for them mentally, you know. They'd just seen their life flash before their eyes, and then they're left on their own, and everybody's busy with their own things. So even to drive in their driveway, for them, it was incredible. And we stopped and talked to many of them. We'd have a cup of coffee with some if we had time. But to do the trip up there was about a 17 to 19-hour trip. So each time it was a big trip. So we didn't have a lot of time, but mainly because we had to get back too so that I could start organising the next list.
There you go. You were coming on the program saying, please, people out there, these are the things I need. If you can help me out, I can go and pick them up. Tell me about that. How did you gather together all the goods that you needed to transport up there, desperately needed things?
Oh, help from everywhere. I got businesses like local building supplies, Scott Carpenter, people like him. I mean, he just said to me, Gina, come here and fill up your truck. There was just a lot of local businesses. Bunnings came on board. The IGA at Edmonton, John Piccone came on board. There was a lot of people that put their hands up and donated so many things. I did go out and pick up some items from Holloway's Hub. Bunnings did donate quite a bit of what we needed of the hardware. The hard part was that every single week, what they needed up there changed because they were at different stages. So one week it would be they need the shovels and they need the wheelbarrows and they needed all that stuff. And how do you transport 15 wheelbarrows, you know, they're quite big items. And then it got to the white goods, and that was something that I could take one or two, but obviously we couldn't get all those up there. So I think other trucks actually got them. There was another organisation that got the white goods up there that were donated. But it was difficult because, as I said, every week it changed as to what they needed. But it was amazing. The community jumped on board, even though everybody, some people here had lost themselves.
Yes,
the Machin's Beach Hub very much jumped on board and said, take what you need, whatever you need, just take it. The help just came from everywhere. It was, you know, people say it was amazing and it was legend, blah, blah, blah. I call it being human. And I met so many other humans during that time. It was incredible. People just helping people. Isn't that how the world's supposed to exist?
Yeah, but you stood out. You glowed. You know, it was just amazing the level of energy and focus you put into what you achieved. You know, every time you'd come on air, I'd walk out and say, did you just hear what she said? Did you just realise what she's doing? You were absolutely remarkable, Gina.
I was just passionate about helping people, John. You can't, how do I put this? You can't look at people that need help and walk away.
Mm.
You can't do that. And you just do everything you can to give them everything they need to try and make their life easier. I mean, that's, to me, that's normal. I mean, I was very passionate about it and meeting the people and hearing what they'd been through.
Yeah.
I couldn't even relate to that. I couldn't relate to being tied to a tree for so many hours with 60K water going past me and saying my goodbyes. I mean, I can't put myself in their shoes. I wasn't there. But to hear what they'd been through and to see what they'd been through and to see their resilience afterwards, that actually fired me up even more to get them what they needed to actually keep going.
So there you go. It's 12 months today. Well, tomorrow, I suppose, 12 months. So you'll have a lot of memories of finally. I love the way you say it. I call it being human. I mean, anyone else will call it being a hero. That's what you are.
It's not being a hero, John. It's not being a hero. It's being human. And if more people would actually think like that, we'd actually have a totally different world.
Yeah, a better world.
Well, definitely a better world. I mean, people helping people. It's part of what humanity should be about.
Anyway, you were magnificent 12 months ago, Gina,
Thank
and I'm
you.
Sure you still are. Stay in touch.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate it.
What a remarkable member of our local community, Gina Court, and just recently One Nation candidate for the seat of Cairns as well.